Autobots, transform!
Well, hey, welcome back to the Transformers Nitpickers Podcast Show. I'm Paul.
I'm John.
And today it is episode 37 of Transformers Cybertron. It is Titans.
This episode was written by Gio Yamatoya, and the last time on Transformers Cybertron, we witnessed what stupid and irresponsible parents both Lori and Kobe truly have. And in this episode, Coronation Starscream is full of himself.
Mm-hmm. We're on the Atlantis ship, and Starscream and Sideways think they're way ahead of the Autobots this time, and Starscream's gonna have that last Cyber Planet key in his clutches, he says, and then Sideways to himself is like, yeah, sure you will. I guess just to remind us that he's on his own side?
Sure, why not? Because he's totally never on his own side, but we go to somewhere on Atlantis in the ship. And Bud is burning the Autobot insignia into metal cubes with a welding torch as like a trail of breadcrumbs, basically.
Well, yeah, they're tossing them. The Minicons are tossing these out the garbage chute to leave a trail for the Autobots. And Jolt even points out that the odds of the Autobots finding these things is practically zero. But Bud's like, oh, it always works in the movies. It's going
to
work.
Now, technically, and it pains me to say this, Jolt is correct. It feels gross coming out of my mouth, but I want to throw up. Jolt is correct. But at the same time, Bud is using movie and TV logic, which in this show is gonna pan out.
It usually works, yeah. And back on Primus, the Autobots have some kind of setup, all set up, and to keep the black hole at bay while they look for Gigantion, because they still need the fourth key, and Optimus is grateful that Bud and Lori are helping here on Cybertron when he knows they'd rather be out looking for Bud with Jetfire and Wingding.
You made one mistake there, Paul, where you said the Autobots are working to keep the black hole at bay and doing mechanical stuff. Kobe's doing it all. They mention a couple times in this episode, Kobe can do it, and I don't know if it's this or the next one, but like later on, there's a bit where Kobe's like, trust me, I can do it. And Optimus has to go, anyway, I'm jumping the gun here. Vector Prime, while they're all doing this with the black hole thing, Vector Prime is looking away to the alternate, to find a way to the alternate universe and Gigantion.
And now back with Jetfire and Wingding, they immediately find the trail of crates that Bud drew on that they're floating in space. And Jetfire says, all they need to do is follow them. And Bob's your uncle. And I guess Thunderblast never heard that expression before, because she's suddenly hiding behind another piece of debris, spying on them. So she just followed them here and they didn't notice her?
The one logical thing I don't get, though, is that, like, Jetfire right away is like, Bud's a smart kid. He would have done this. Why did he immediately think Bud and not one of the Minicons? Like, it doesn't say Bud. It's an Autobot symbol.
Yeah.
And with the number of rogue Transformers out there, how do we know there's not a whole bunch of Autobots flying around just leaving cubes everywhere?
Maybe it is like remember Blur in Animated, how we ended up as that fucking cube? Maybe that's what it is.
It's a bunch of squished Transformers. Yeah. Anyway, we have a quick cutaway to Crumple Zone and Ransack, because for whatever reason, this series does not want to let them go. This isn't yet. Skywarp and Wingding find the Atlantis, and they, just as they do, Sideways spots them. They open fire. There's a whole bunch of firing. And then Crumple Zone and Ransack, they overhear it, and they're like, let's not join.
Yep, they think the shooting must mean fighting, but do they want to get involved? Nah. And back outside, Megatron shows up and thanks the Autobots for leading him here. I guess he was following them, or maybe he had Thunderblast chase him, I don't know. But
yeah, I think that's what it was. He had Thunderblast telling him where to go.
And rather than that, he was just saying, hey, there's two random Autobots, let's see where they're going. But he sends Scourge and Thundercracker to start smashing the ship to get Starscream to come outside. Like, he just follows the Autobots and is like, all right, we're done with them. Let's get Starscream out here. I want him.
Which I guess that kind of makes sense. What doesn't make sense after this is Jetfire and Wingding start arguing about they actually say, well, now that Megatron and Starscream are dealing with each other, let's go find Bolt. I want to go find fight Megatron. No, you fight Megatron. No, I will. Guys, he's busy with Starscream.
Yeah.
Both you go save Bud.
Both of you.
But they don't do that. Jetfire goes to save Bud because Wingding doesn't like, quote, cloak and dagger stuff.
Yeah, it's too sneaky beaky for him, I guess. And also, I guess Ransack and Crumple Zone change their minds about getting involved in this fight because they head off to make it look like they're helping, I think they say. And when they transform to fly off, and there's not a lot of transformations in this episode, but this is two of them, they fly off the ship, they flap their arms. That kind of made me laugh.
So we go to Bud, who has Jolt and Reverb pushing out more cubes because the plot needs them to. Like, it would make sense that Bud stops doing that, but he doesn't. He keeps pushing them out. And then Jetfire flying along is like, where are you, Bud Crikey? Oh, there you are, the trash compactor.
But yeah, Jetfire goes to fly a little bit closer now that he knows where these things are coming from, because that must be where Bud is in this huge ship. But then the ship just warps away, and Jetfire's like, well, so much for that idea. But Wingding's like, man, we can't give up. I have an idea. We can't give up. Like, that's
yeah,
his idea.
Like, we're gonna follow them. But Wingding, we don't know where they went. I know, but we'll follow them. We have already established he's an idiot, so I guess we have to let this one
it's
slide.
It's a good thing he's pretty. Yeah. They transform and fly off.
Yeah. And then Megatron hears a voice.
Yeah, this voice out of nowhere just says, oh, you want to go to Gigantion? And then this robot bird flies around the Decepticons.
That's right, it's a brand new toy, it's a brand new transformer, it's Soundwave.
What's with the modulated voice, Herman?
I am not Herman, I am Soundwave. Buy this toy.
No, and we can tell you're just wearing a children's Halloween mask.
It doesn't even fit.
Irrelevant. Buy this toy so I can, so Herman can get the bonus. Bonus superior. Ball and John inferior.
We are not buying this toy, Herman, so forget it.
Soundwave.
We're not buying this toy, Soundwave, and give me back my credit card.
Herman doesn't have your credit card. Soundwave must leave now.
Some invisible paint can shaped thing.
I'll take that. Now to finds me a big fucking brush. Doobie doobie doo, and so on.
That was weird, but yeah, it's Soundwave.
Yeah, and he's at least he looks better than he'll be in animated, at least. And back on Primus, Jetfire reports in the thing warped away, but at least they tried or something like that. And Override tells Optimus the Energon converter, whatever that is all set to go. So now it's time to re-energize Primus.
And I'm sure there was an absolute solid reason why they never did this before. Oh, what's that? There wasn't. Okay. Anyway, Optimus uses the Matrix of Leadership and the three keys, and he's like, please, Primus, be our buddy, and yep, I'm using everything I got.
And, Primus does wake up, and he blasts this huge beam from his chest towards the black hole, and now back with Starscream, I have no idea what happened here. The ship's flying along, and there's this brief shot of ripples, I guess, and then Starscream says, sparks! And he can feel their power, and all right.
Yeah, and then he warps in, or the Atlantis warps in, above this beam that Primus is shooting into the black hole, and everybody goes, oh, for about 10 or 15 seconds, and then Starscream, I keep calling him Starscream, but Starscream jumps into the beam, and then everybody goes, oh, for another 10 or 15 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, I love how Starscream does, like, the classic evil villain laugh. It's just like, ooh, kind of thing. And, yeah. But yeah, the Autobots all comment on this, and Lori says, hold, last time that Starscream stole Primus's power, he got big, and sure enough, that's what's happening this time, too, and they can't believe it, and Vector Prime says, oh my word, and now Starscream's the size of an entire planet, and commercial break.
And when we get back, Coronation Starscream, he, like, exposits on his power. I'm so powerful, I can do this. And Kobe's like, Bud! And he runs off. And Optimus legitimately talks common sense into him. It's like, hey, there's nothing you can do. Starscream's the size of a planet. We have to deal with that first. Also, Kobe, what was your plan, man?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what? I don't even want to know, Kobe.
But it gets worse. Override reminds them that with 100% of the power directed into the beam that Primus is shooting at the thing they're calling a black hole, because it is not a black hole, Primus has no power to do anything else, not even life support, and it cuts over to Kobe and Lori, and they're turning blue. No, I'm just kidding. Primus can't move to defend himself from Starscream in this situation.
Although he hasn't moved up to this point. He's never moved once. Why would he move now? It doesn't matter. What they figure is they need a shield. So they push a bunch of buttons, and they enact some big shield that Coronation Starscream can't shoot his way through.
Yeah, they can power up shields, even though she just said that 100% of the... It doesn't matter. But either way, they get the shields up and block Starscream's shot, and then Starscream drop kicks Primus, where he drop kicks the shield, and then just starts punching him, is like taunting him, like, hey, come out of that shield and fight, you coward.
Yeah, he keeps talking about how, oh, it can't stand up much longer, it can't stand up much longer, and it does, it stands up a whole lot longer. And while he's saying that, the Autobots, I don't know what they do, they recombobulate Primus's thingamajig, and it gives him enough power to move, and then he, like, the shield breaks like glass, because that's how energy shields work, and then He Primus just like lifts a hand and opens his palm and like deflects Starscream's cyber keys, and then he deflects Starscream's laser.
And then Primus uses his cyber key power, but isn't he the source of all the power the Transformers draw on when they use their cyber keys? Like, am I way off on that one? Like, wouldn't this be like kind of like Mitch Hedberg's bit about plugging the cord from the radio into the battery compartment? Like, either way, he does it.
Yeah, he does it, and it's whatever. It's silly and dumb. But what happens next is kind of neat. Primus like creates these energy lassos out of his hand. He whips them around all fancy crazy, and then grabs the two moons of Primus, or Cybertron, and starts, basically he uses them like a ball and chain, like a mace. Not a mace. What's the, is it a ball and chain? The weapon?
Or like a Morning Star, I think is
morning
the name of
it. Morning Star, that's it.
But yeah, it's really cool, and he just starts swinging them around, and he hits Starscream with it so fucking hard, Starscream smashes into another planet in the star system, and it destroys that planet.
There was one line that made me laugh, though, when he starts, you know, doing that. They're like, oh, they're moons. Lori's like, they're so big. Well, yeah, no shit, Lori, they're moons.
Yeah.
But Kobe says, yeah, Primus, moon that loser. And that gave me a laugh.
It's like something my dad would say, like any object, I'll knife, fork, spoon you.
I'll shove my number. What was it? What did he used to say? I'll shove my size 10 boot up your size 2 ass.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, those are the days.
But yeah, Coronation Starscream, he's like near death and still like laying there still going, I'm going to win. I'm the best, half dead. And then Sideways warps away. And I'm assuming he takes Starscream with him, but they don't really show it. I'm just assuming because he's been doing that all series.
The Atlantis flies up beside Starscream, and I guess getting smashed with a moon also knocked Starscream back to normal size, because now the Atlantis, which was shown to be very tiny compared to Primus and Starscream, is now much bigger than Starscream. But yeah, it warps away, and I think Sideways even says, like, oh, it looks like I'm in business for myself. So I don't think he knows he brought Starscream with him, if he did.
I don't think it matters. Also, what happens after this doesn't matter, because when they warp away, Kobe's like, brother! And they're like, oh, they're brothers. I didn't know that. Thank you for telling me. And then Vector Prime walks into the room, and like Professor Farnsworth says, good news, everyone! He found the location of Guy Jagenkalkland and Bond.
Primus wakes up and starts blasting the black hole with his power to stabilize it, they say. It's the best they can do with only three keys. Like, better than doing nothing, I guess. But then Starscream comes along and jumps into the beam and grows to the size of a planet. But hold on. If this is the good power of Primus that he's blasting with, right? Well, shouldn't that obliterate Starscream the second it hits him? He's evil, isn't he? But as Lori reminds us, the power of Primus made Starscream big before, and these shows never, ever retcon things. No, sir, wouldn't be sporting. So it makes him big again. But if Lori remembers it happening before, shouldn't the Autobots know that it could happen again and take some steps to deal with that possibility, especially knowing that using this ability makes Primus unable to move or defend himself? Like, if just shutting the stupid thing off to keep Starscream from turning into a giant if he shows up is too complicated, well, get some defenses set up. Here's an idea. Use the beam on Optimus. Make him the size of a planet and have him stand guard while Primus stabilizes the thing. And then if and when Starscream or anybody else shows up, then you'd have to make Wingding and Leo break a big too. You know what? Fuck it. Do it anyway. It's been how many episodes, and they still haven't combined all three of them into Ultra Super Wing Club Sonic Ding Smash.
Here we are at the end of another episode of the Transformers Nitpickers podcast show. We just watched Titans. Paul, what was gargantuan about this episode?
It was definitely gargantuan. I really liked Primus using his moons as weapons. Like,
so did
that was
I.
Really neat. But what would have made that even more neat is if after he grabbed them, if the moons transformed into weapons like an axe or a gun or something, that would have been fucking awesome. But yeah, it was just neat just the way he reaches out and grabs them. I don't think we've ever seen that in anything before. It was a really neat idea.
Absolutely. It was the first time like somebody using a celestial body as a weapon. Very cool idea. It was over a little too fast, but yeah, that was my number one thing I liked as well. And because of that, I liked when Kobe said, moon that loser. I also liked Bud using the cubes as a trail of breadcrumbs. Since like he saw it on TV, that was very much in his character.
Yeah, it's something a kid would think of. He saw it work before. Well, let's give it a try, right? I also kind of like how Bud is—he's not giving up. Like he's not panicking. Like he's trying everything he can. I don't think he realizes how much of a predicament he's in. Right? Like he's very optimistic for the situation he's in.
I absolutely agree. And I think we need to be optimistic about the next episode, Warp. And if you want to come sail away, come sail away, come sail away with me through a warp gate, you can email the show at transformersnitpickers@gmail.com.
Yeah, make sure you rate and review us on your podcast app, whatever it is you listen to us with, whatever you listen to Sticks with, and tell all your friends, tell everybody you know.
You can tell them that they can find old episodes of the Transformers Nitpickers podcast show at transformersnitpickers.podbean.com. And not only can they find the old episodes, they can like find them in categories based on, I don't know how good your podcast app is, dear listener, but on the webpage, you're in there, you can look into categories by movies or commentaries or series or just decade. It's all there. Transformersnitpickers.podbean.com. And until the next episode, I said transformersnitpickers.podbean.com twice, technically three times now, huh?
See you later. Man, we can't give up. I have an idea. We can't give up.